continuation of her struggles, her efforts for the wilaya, she mentioned this sentence so that people come to their conscience.
All right.
To ask themselves that why Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha is staying later in Mitu Qabla Hada.
Yeah.
So it's also a kind of continuation of her efforts.
Nothing is sweeter than the life.
Yeah.
So when you are swearing by your life and wishing for death or something like that, it means that something grave is happening to you. So it could be the demise of Prophet Muhammad, or it could be the death of your religion, Islam.
Okay.
All right.
Now, having said that, as I mentioned, in my understanding, we cannot say that for sure Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha has wished for a real death.
No.
Either it was a metaphor,
yes,
or it's not mentioned in an authentic narration. But having said that, we go back to the main question, is wishing for death makruh, reprehensible, mm-hmm, at all times? The general answer given to this question is yes, because, I mean, having a long life is one of the divine blessings. It's been mentioned that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family went to visit a person who was sick, and that person was complaining from the pain, and he wished for death. And the Prophet told him that never wish for death, because if you're a good person, you can increase your righteous actions. And if you're a bad person, then you might have the opportunity to repent. This is mentioned in Wasa'il al-Shi'a, volume 2, page 449. But according to some, so this is the general principle, that wishing for death is makruh. But we have, for example, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam in dua, supplication number 22 in Sahifa Sajjadiyya.
Yes.
When he says, فَإِذَا كَانَ عُمْرِي مَرْتَعًا لِلشَّيْطَانِ, if my life becomes a pasture for Satan, meaning that Satan is dominating over my whole life, فَقْبِضْنِي إِلَيْكَ, then seize me onto yourself, meaning
right,
that I may die.
Okay.
Before your wrath overtakes me, قَبْلَ أَنْ يَسْبِقَ مَقْتُكَ إِلَيْكَ, or before your anger prevails against me.
That's right.
So when we put all these narrations together, is that generally speaking, wishing for death is not good. But for example, in the case that we are sure that if we continue our life, we are going to be deceived by the Satan more and more, and to be away from God more and more, in this case, wishing for death is not something bad. This is one point. On the other hand, for some most virtuous people, most righteous people, who have done everything good in this life and they have no duty, responsibility left, we can consider that in that case also wishing for death is not something reprehensible.
That's right.
When the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, when the Prophet says that do not wish for death, they are talking about ordinary people who may wish for death because of afflictions, because of pains, because
yes,
of problems. But in some cases, I mean, we may talk about Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha. She has done everything to defend Imam Ali Alayhi Salam. She has done her best to guide the people, but without any benefit, no one is going to, follow the
yes,
instructions of Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha.
Which are attributed to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, we can say calling death to himself,
yeah,
or the sword surround me and
exactly,
kill me.
Yeah.
Okay, death in their ideology is very much different.
Yeah. So at least okay, one way to understand
yes,
this is that for such people who have done their
yes,
best in their life and their mission in this world is complete.
Okay.
And now they are wishing not for an ordinary death,
yes,
for martyrdom.
Yes.
And this is another story. When it comes to martyrdom, any person can wish for martyrdom as the best way for demise.
Right.
So my point is that for people like Lady Zahra Salamun Alayha who have done everything in their life, there is no duty left, even if we understand those narrations in the real sense of the world, that they wish for real death, it might be also explained that they have done everything, there is no duty left, so they may wish for death. And as I mentioned, this is a continuation of her struggle against the deviation that happened after the demise of the Prophet. And the last point that I would like to share is that some people who mentioned this story about wishing for death as related to Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaiha, they can refer to chapter Maryam, verse 23, when Lady Maryam Sallallahu Alaiha was suffering from the pains and the difficult time that she had. She says the following, Ya laytani mittu qabla hadha. I wish I had died before this. So there are explanations in both Shia and Sunni sources of exegesis of the Noble Book of Quran. Our dear listeners can refer to them. Okay. So my point is that this is also mentioned by Lady Maryam Salamun Alaiha, and I believe that in that case, the best explanation is that it is a kind of metaphor. Lady Maryam Salamun Alaiha also didn't meant this to really happen. It is a metaphor referring to the difficult time that she was passing through.
All right. It was very kind of you, Sheikh. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of the program, and Sheikh Karimi. For more information and also to download for free our other episodes, visit our website, iranradio.ir. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints ما رو هدایت میکنه
It guides us through life
همه چیز رو تعلیم داده
It has taught us everything
باید آموخت باید فهمید.
We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
و اونگاه پیاده کردن این مفاهیم در واقعیت زندگی.
And try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من. این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be
averse. شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد اینها چیزایی لازم نیست
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones
اما این کافی نیست
But it's not enough
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن است. دوری از قرآن است.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran. Quran.
Good morning to all listeners of Iran Radio. Greetings to you wherever you are in the world. I'm Asma, your host for the next hour here in Tehran. We'll start this hour's lineup with a radio productions feature that will be followed by Leader's Speech. The program presents a selection of statements and speeches of the honorable leader of the Islamic Revolution. That will be followed by radio productions feature. After that, we have For Humanity, a variety of subjects from the Holy Quran, which predominantly tend to be social issues, are addressed in this program. Stay with us for the next hour.
Jamadi Athani III. To the strongest and most probable beliefs, it is the day when the whole heavens cried for the martyrdom of Lady Fatima Zahra, the princess of all women of the world. Affliction and agony will invade hearts of all Muslims every year on the martyrdom anniversary of Fatima, a candle in the wind.
والحزين ما له حضيب تعد ما يقدر يجافيني صحف ريحتيج ابتسم والفرح ما ينسيني يا مولاتي يا مولاتي مولاتي يا زهرة
يا مولاتي يا مولاتي يا مولاتي يا زهرة يا مظلومة يا مظلومة يا مظلومة يا زهرة.
Lady Fatima was a daughter of Muhammad and Khadija, wife of Ali and mother of Hassan and Hussein, and one of the five members of Ahlul Bayt. She became the object of great veneration by all Muslims because she lived closest to her father and supported him in his difficulties, and because of historical importance of her husband and her two sons, and that she is the only member of Muhammad's family that gave him descendants numerously spread through the Islamic world. Muslims regard Fatima as a loving and devoted daughter, mother, wife, a sincere Muslim, and an exemplar for women. It is believed that she was very close to her father, and her distinction from other women is mentioned in many hadith. Fatima Zahra most of all resembled her father in her looks, character, behavior, and conduct. She's the princess of all women of the world. Various aspects of Lady Fatima's life in the words of Tahsin Fatima Razavi.
In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful, we're going to carry on with analyzing the life of our great lady of Islam, Hazrat Fatima Zahra. And we have seen so far the role played in her short-lived life that had at this moment and at the present time and throughout history had mellowed the dominant roles of people and groups like the feminist, and have taught us that by mellowing down our role and concentrating on each individual parts of our, so as to say, multidimensional role which each woman and man has to play, we have learned that there are better and supreme goals that one has to attain, and we must aim for those goals. Now, to carry on and look at the life and how Hazrat Fatima Zahra showed us these and taught us these lessons are an example from her life and her, for instance, multiple skills that she had of eloquence and her political and social expertise and the powerful insight she showed at various stages. For instance, there was a time when a woman had come to Hazrat Fatima Zahra and had said that I have a weak mother who has many questions with regards to worship. And the woman carried on asking the questions. But the questions came one after another and she carried on to the extent that she had to come another day. And the next day she apologized to Hazrat Fatima and said, maybe I have taken too much of your time. Maybe I have tired you. But Hazrat Fatima Zahra in return said, no, ask anything. Because it's like a man who has to transport, for instance, a load to the top of a mountain for 1,000 dinars. What do you think? Would it bother him? Because at the end, he's going to get so much money. The woman replied, no. So Hazrat Fatima Zahra said, my reward for every question that you ask is similar to imagining the whole of the space of the earth from the ground to the divine throne full of pearls. Now, with this, we see what Hazrat Fatima Zahra is trying to say. We see that if a woman concentrates on knowledge, acquiring knowledge, and then passing on that knowledge to help others to solve their problems, this is the reward we gain by helping them. There are events in the following manner about Hazrat Fatima Zahra and her bravery. She was apparently present with the Holy Prophet and at times with Imam Ali in roughly around 30 wars and battles that took place at that time. Fatima Zahra also shows her bravery when she goes into public and society and demands for her rights, for her usurped rights, namely the Garden of Fadak back, when Imam Ali, her husband, was dragged to the mosque to pay allegiance to the ruler that he did not want to. She faced the time when her house was set on fire. She faced the time when, during the attack at her house, she was wounded and she was beaten. And due to that, she had miscarried her child, Mohsin. In fact, it is Fatima who has trodden this path of perfection, as we have seen from her life. And because of this, she is a guide for other women to follow. This all shows the importance of the role of Hazrat Fatima Zahra. Hazrat Fatima Zahra, by her very small life and every act, every behavior, every step that she had taken and every word that she had uttered had become an example and a lesson for us that at a time of such corruption, at a harsh times, at times of sorrow, she was still as strong as anything and stood against all this because she believed in the message sent to the Holy Prophet, which was displayed in practice by her husband Imam Ali. It was the divine message, so she believed in Allah and she followed on the course of the path of the divine message and thus practiced it in her life.
As a daughter, Fatima Zahra loved her parents so much that she won their love and regard. The behavior of Prophet Muhammad towards his daughter Fatima Zahra was special. Prophet Muhammad showed unique respect to his dear daughter. Whenever Fatima Zahra came to see him, he welcomed her, stood up to show respect, and even kissed her hand and made her sit at his own place. The love between the father and daughter was not a one-way process. Instead, Fatima too immensely loved her father like he loved her. When Hazrat Khadija passed away, she was not more than 6 years of age. After the death of her mother, she always looked after the comfort of her father at home. Fatima was such a daughter who constantly and stably followed the footsteps of her father. Fatima Zahra was virtue personified. In fact, she's considered the greatest lady that ever graced planet Earth. Whatever Prophet Muhammad said about her was to make people aware of her position and status that would serve as an example for women of all time. Sheikh Usama Al-Attar elaborates on the life and times of Lady Fatima Zahra.
One of the attributes of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam is fasaha, eloquence. Today we will take a look at one of these examples of eloquence in the sermon of Fatima Zahra salawatullahi wa salamu alayha. I would like to mention three important points in her sermon, among many other things, of course. She says, "Oh people, be aware, I am Fatima and my father is Muhammad. This is who we are. And if you reflect upon him, you will find that he is my father among all of your women. He's only my father. And he is only cousin of my husband among all your men." Fatima Zahra is trying to remind people, he is the brother of my cousin, referring to Ali ibn Abi Talib, among all your men. In other words, don't you think that Ali ibn Abi Talib and I are equivalent to you people? No. And what else? What else does she say? She strengthens her points. She also mentioned to the people, she said, "People, didn't my father Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, يُحْفَظُ الْمَرْءُ فِي وُلْدِهِ, that when you honor a person, you honor him through his children. After he dies, how you honor a person who's dead? Through his children, taking care of the children. When you take care of the children, then you've honored this man who has passed away. You don't come to the house of the man who has passed away and you threaten to burn it down. This is not how you honor him. You don't come and attack the house. This is not how you honor him." Read Ibn Qutayba in Imama and Siyasa. He said 9 men, including the second man, they came and they threatened to burn the house of Fatima. They told the second man, "Fatima is in the house." Qala wa'in. So what? Allahu Akbar. Is this how you honor Rasulullah? Is this how you pay respect to this man who saved you from the hellfire? So, she says, "Didn't my father say that you honor a person by taking care of his children?" She's reviving the tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahadith of Rasulullah. She's fighting against that policy of the state. Then, she starts going into the meaning of the Quran. They decided to put aside the meaning of the Quran. She fought against that. How? When she discussed about her right in the land of Fadak and inheriting the land of Fadak. Is it fair that you inherit your father? She's talking to the first Khalifa. You can inherit your father, but I cannot inherit my father? What have you done? You have neglected the Quran and put it behind your backs? This is what she's talking about now. She's fighting against this second policy of the state. So she's now interpreting the Quran. She's quoting these verses to tell people, you cannot leave the Quran and the interpretation of the Quran. So then she turns to the first Khalifa and to the Muslims, and she tells them, so do you claim that you are more aware and understanding of the Quran than my father and my cousin? Again, she is fighting that ideology to put down Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So you see, she's elevating Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. One time when she said that he is the only brother of the Prophet among all your men. He is the only one with Rasulullah who understands the Quran and the meaning of the Quran. Fatima Zahra is fighting against this ideology. She's saying that, one, the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam are extremely important. She mentions them in her sermon. Then she mentions the interpretation of the Quran, specifically with regards to these verses that talk about earth and inheritance. She also interprets other verses in the Quran. So she's interpreting the Quran, and then she's elevating the status of Ahlul Bayt such that people realize that these are the three ideologies that are being introduced by the state, and she's fighting against them. And that's what she's saying. So you see, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, among many other things, of course, addressed in the khutbah, where she calls upon the people, especially the Ansar, the people of Medina. She said, you were the ones who helped my father. Why are you turning your backs against me today? Why are you turning your backs to me today? Where are you? She made everybody cry in the majlis. But unfortunately, she wanted to deliver the proof, the hujjah, so that people wouldn't say we didn't know. But people deliberately decide to ignore. She used to go to the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, take with her Hassan and Hussein, sit at the grave. She would pick up some of the sand of that grave and smell it and shed her tears. She would say, tell the Prophet, tell the one who has been now buried in the sands, if you can hear me and hear my cries, so many tragedies have been inflicted upon me, such that if these tragedies would have been inflicted upon the day, it would have turned into night. It would not have bared these tragedies, these issues, these complications. And all this stayed with her. She lived only the maximum 6 months after the departure of Rasulullah. At the age of 18 years old, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves this dunya and departs to join her father Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Yeah.
A small procession of devoted ones, sobbing with grief, with their faces covered, is quietly moving towards an unknown location to bury someone special, someone they loved. It was a dark night of the 3rd of Jamadia Thani of the year 11th Hijra in the city of Medina, the city of Prophet Muhammad, just few days after passing away of Prophet Muhammad. They were kids with their father and his close friends walking quietly with patience and happy with their Lord over what they went through during last few days. But they were sobbing, suppressing their voices, tears were flowing but without a sound, concealing their grief so that no one can hear them in the dark, quiet night. They wanted no one in Medina to know about what they were going through. When eyes were asleep and voices were silent, a heavenly procession left Imam Ali's house while carrying the messenger of Allah's daughter, Fatima Zahra, to her final abode. Yes, Fatima's children were walking in the quiet funeral procession of their beloved mother. But where are the thousands who inhabited Medina? What has happened? Why nobody? Why funeral and burial in dark night? Yes, Fatima Zahra had requested Imam Ali that they are not allowed at her funeral. She wished to be buried in the dark night quietly and her grave be hidden from everyone. There was a dead silence, so long with no word. Dead silence, just tears, just sob, just grief. But wait, a sobbing sigh was heard. Somebody was weeping. Yes, it was Imam Ali, the hero of Badr, Uhud, Khaybar, Khandaq, and several other battles. Back in home again, the kids were sad, lonely. Their mother was not with them. Imam Ali was taking care of them. He was consoling them. But it was not an easy task. He would calm the kids and then himself move away to a corner of house so that they don't see him and then cry out himself. This was a narration of the sad and quiet funeral of Fatima Zahra, Salamullah alayha, the leader of all women of the world, the lady who was heavenly, who held pivotal position in the household of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
From her, the offsprings came. From her, the divine knowledge carried on. From her, the divine message never stopped.
But if I don't respond, be aware that I have joined my father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. She goes, she faces Qibla, and she rests.
express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima Zahra, a candle in the wind.
Yeah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hazrat Fatima alayha salam is the role model for women throughout history and for all. In the history of Islam, for every group or stratum of society, there is a suitable role model whose guiding light for salvation and on the path to perfection. The role model for women, as declared by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is Hazrat Fatima Zahra alayha salam. As rightly stated by the noble Prophet, Fatima is the best of all women of the world, Sayyidat Nisa'il Alameen, and a role model for all Muslim women. Referring to this, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said, The history of Islam is witness to the immense respect that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had for Hadrat Zahra alayha salam, which also powerfully reflects on the importance of women in society. If they are not superior to men, they are definitely not any inferior. At a time when people buried their daughters alive, with the birth of Hazrat Fatima Zahra alayha salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the chapters of Kawthar, Qadr, and Dhar to praise her auspicious birth. By kissing Hazrat Fatima alayha salam's hand and by praising her virtues, the Prophet of Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam firmly established the value of women in the Islamic society. This Fatima alayha salam is the role model of all women of the world. Her greatness is not limited to any particular time, period, or location. As stated by the Prophet of Islam, Fatima alayha salam is the best woman ever from the beginning of time up to its end. Hazrat Fatima alayha salam is the role model for women throughout history and for all generations, past, present, and future. The divine aspect of human beings is perfectly manifested in her. If we study the history of mankind, we find that certain people have been looked upon as exemplars for certain qualities that they have perfected. But Hazrat Fatima Zahra alayha salam is a role model for everyone. In all aspects, be it ethics, spirituality, or Gnosticism. The level of her knowledge was so high that even the angels descended upon her. From the spiritual aspect too, she was very detached from worldly distractions and was praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. She prayed a lot and used to tremble and shed tears of awe and love during her worship.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Palestinians are terrorists because they use human shields, right? Well, that's what the Zionists love to say when they justify bombing hospitals and schools. They routinely claim that Hamas houses command and control centers underneath hospitals, apartment buildings, and schools. Of course, all of that has been debunked and is a total lie. But what if I told you that the Israelis were projecting? Because we all know that their every accusation is a confession. Well, a groundbreaking report by the Gray Zone has just exposed a highly secretive IDF command and control center beneath a densely populated civilian area in North Tel Aviv. And the best part, Iran directly bombed it during the 12-day war with Israel back in June. On June 13th, Iran launched a barrage of missiles at Israel. The Zionists immediately began crying about how Iran was bombing civilians, not caring about the fact that they had been slaughtering civilians themselves in hospitals and schools in Gaza for 2 years. But as it turns out, Iran wasn't firing inaccurate missiles indiscriminately at Israeli civilians. They were actually targeting high-value military targets. In this clip here, you can see the Fox journalist Trey Yanks reporting the aftermath of the targeted site. He was immediately told to stop filming by Israeli police.
The Iranians have responded with three waves of ballistic missiles. This is Israel's version of the Pentagon, the Kiryat. And the building on this compound was just hit.
Please go back. Go back, please. Go back, please.
You can understand here. It's very tense at this location. Because the Iranians are now targeting the defense establishment of Israel. And so I'm going to have my cameraman pan up here to this building just across the street from the Kiryat.
Moments prior, Iran had struck the north tower of the Da Vinci apartment complex roughly 550 meters southwest of Yink's location. The Gray Zone determined that the building sits immediately south of the Kanaret Israeli Air Force towers and above an underground military intelligence bunker jointly administered by the U.S. and Israeli militaries. According to an analysis of leaked emails, public documents, and Israeli news reports, the location is host to a highly secretive, electromagnetically shielded intelligence facility known as Site 81. Leaked emails from a former Israeli military chief of staff further indicate that Site 81 is an important command and control node. The Jerusalem Post also reported that an Iranian missile that struck the Da Vinci Towers was just a stone's throw from Netanyahu's office, which was then known as Building 22. The Prime Minister's office began undergoing renovations just weeks after the 2025 12-day war between Israel and Iran, and is rumored to have been damaged in the strike. Now, unfortunately, you can't use Google Maps to view the area because they have censored and blurred the information in order to protect its secrecy. A photo of Site 81 published by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in February 2013 as part of a corrosion test of the underground structure's concrete overlay in galvanized steel plating can be geolocated to what is now the site of the Da Vinci apartment towers, with the southern of the two 18-story Israeli Air Force Kinneret towers just meters away. According to a website for the Kinneret towers, published by the Israeli construction firm Dan Yakibis, the buildings were constructed for the Israeli Air Force headquarters. The Israeli aluminum building enclosure company, Alumeshet, described its work on the towers in 2002, as including the construction of a blast mitigation system ensuring maximum security. But despite the sophisticated engineering, secrecy, and protection, Iran was still able to strike it and damage it. One Israeli resident of the tower complained that he was being used as a human shield. Quote, "Today I realize I've been paying 12,000 shekels, or $3,650 a month, to protect the Kiryah," the resident explained, using the common shorthand for the Israeli military headquarters. The geolocation of the Site 81 photo suggests that the Da Vinci Towers are also protecting the secretive underground intelligence facility. The bunker is apparently located less than 100 meters from a children's playground, alongside a large community center which opened at the base of the towers in July 2023. By situating some of its most sensitive military installations in the heart of a civilian area, Israel has engaged in the human shielding practice it routinely accuses Palestinians of exploiting. A previously unreported leaked email exchange between ex-NATO commander James Stavridis and former Israeli military chief of staff Gabi Ashkenazi appears to confirm the presence of a command and control network operating inside the Site 81 bunker, smack in the middle of a densely populated civilian area. "Hi Gabi," Stavridis wrote to Ashkenazi on September 1st, 2015. "I am working with an exciting company called Think Logical here in the USA. They build command and control networks and just won a big contract out at Site 81 with the IDF." Not only does this further expose Israel as the hypocritical genocidal state that it is, it also validates Iran's claims of having significantly damaged Israeli military infrastructure. Throughout the 12-day war, Israel bombed Iranian civilians, murdering hundreds of innocent people, including babies, while complaining about Iran supposedly indiscriminately bombing their civilians. Zionist propagandists also boasted about taking out Iran's more sophisticated missiles in their surprise attack, forcing them to rely on older, less accurate missiles incapable of precisely hitting their targets.
The earth and the heavens begin to sing. The angels celebrate the birth of a king. A king who outshines the stars of the night. A beacon of hope. You guide us with your love. A peace of
paradise in this desert land. Oh yeah, with grace and kindness you fill our empty blessings of God upon you is my prayer. The earth and the heavens begin to sing. This day we celebrate the birth of a king.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.